Recently, I heard a comedian say that his New York City apartment was so small that before he purchased anything, he had to decide what he was going to get rid of in order to have enough space. And most of us aren't faced with space limitations quite that desperate. We're able to stash a surprising amount of stuff into our abodes. I mean, that's the reason we have our annual trash and treasure sale. We have more stuff than we know what to do with. But sometimes we stash items in our homes and then don't use them much, if at all. And before you know it, it's as though we've forgotten we even have them. Small kitchen appliances, that forgotten pair of shoes that seemed so perfect at one time, that ingenious hand tool that we thought we'd have a million uses for, that book we picked up because we'd always meant to read it. And just maybe that book was this book, the Bible. Maybe it was a gift to you when you got married. Maybe you purchased it when you were excited to be joining a new Bible study. Maybe it was given to you by a relative. Maybe, like young Trevor today, the Bible you have was given to you by your church. How many Bibles do you have in your home? Think for a moment. And by the way, if you have none, see me right after the service today, and your church will make sure you have one before you leave. All right. Does anyone here think they have only one Bible in their house? Raise your hand if you're pretty sure you have only one Bible. Look around, friends. Look at that. Most households, especially the ones in here, have multiples. They may be gold-edged and leather-bound, or they may be more casual and hip. I remember a version of the Bible that was popular with kids years ago because it had a cover made out of denim, so it looked like a pair of blue jeans. Now, if we were honest, some would have to admit that whether our Bible is covered in leather or in denim, it is also covered in dust. We succeeded in finding a place to stash that Bible in our home, where it became overlooked and then forgotten. And there are others who know exactly where their Bible is, but they treat it like fine china. I better explain, since many couples today don't bother with including fine china on their wedding registry. Fine china, friends, is a set of fancy plates and cups and saucers to be used for special dining occasions like holiday dinners on Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving, or maybe for a birthday or for entertaining special guests. But when not being used for a special meal, fine china is put on a shelf or it's put into a cabinet just to sit there and be admired. And like fine china that spends most of its time sitting on a shelf, truth be told, for some of us, that's probably what life is like for our Bibles, too. A long, long time ago, the earliest Christians were trying to figure out how their lives should be different, changed, special, dedicated, how they should be different because they accepted Jesus as their Master and Savior. These new believers listened for the encouragement and counsel of the apostles and other Christ followers who were inspired by God's Holy Spirit. And then people like Paul, Peter, Timothy, James, Titus, Philemon, they would preach and they would teach the believers. And they also wrote letters to these new Christian communities, these new fledgling churches. And those churches treasured those writings. And we know they treasured them, because they went to the trouble of preserving them so they could reread those letters and probably share them with neighboring Christian communities. In a letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, Paul himself even wrote, quote, I urge you by the authority of the Lord to read these letters to all the believers. It was in the hearing and reading and digesting and accepting these inspired words that the fledgling Christians discovered how following the way of Jesus changed them. Following Jesus changed their priorities from what's best for me to what's right for disadvantaged and vulnerable people. Following Jesus changed their hearts to be more tolerant and accepting, more patient and forgiving, more generous and merciful. Following Jesus changed their point of view, enabling them to imagine the world from God's perspective. And so first, the Holy Spirit touched people's hearts, and then the Spirit solidified that claim on their hearts through the inspired writings of fellow believers. Writings that were treasured, shared, preserved, passed down through the generations. Think a minute. Think how remarkable it is that these fragile letters, and of course the scrolls of the Hebrew Scriptures long before that, how these would survive years and decades and centuries of wear and tear and natural disasters and the upheaval of political and military conquest. Imagine the efforts and the commitment to reproduce the texts for distribution to others through that tedious by-hand process of copying from copies of copies of copies of copies of those scrolls and books and letters. What it took to preserve this unparalleled witness to the work of God and God's people. I mean, how fortunate we are in this day and age and in this nation that any of us can look at a Bible at any time we want. They're so accessible, so affordable, that anyone can have one for her very own. Yet sometimes we treat our Bibles with no more respect than a no longer needed fishing pole or an outgrown dress-up doll. Do you know where your Bible is? Make an appointment with yourself in the next 3 days to find it. And if you know where it is, you're already ahead of the game. So in the next 3 days, make an appointment to find your Bible, and then before next Sunday, I want you to set aside some time to look through your Bible. You can decide whether that's 5 minutes or 45 minutes. That's up to you. In addition to the books of the Bible, anybody know how many books there are in the Bible? Did I hear 66? You're right! In addition to the 66 books of the Bible, find out what else is in there. In the Bible that you have, is there a dedication or an inscription? As you look through the table of contents, what catches your attention that you had no idea that was in your Bible? Does your Bible have any maps or photos or drawings? Are there charts or timelines or dictionaries that can help your understanding? Does your Bible include footnotes that help explain archaic terms or ancient practices? Is there a list of where to find the Bible's most popular or most familiar verses and stories? Some Bibles have that. Has someone written any record of genealogical information about your own family in your Bible? Are there other items tucked in the Bible, right, like a dried flower or a note from a relative or a bulletin from the day you received it. This was a Bible my grandmother gave my grandfather, and here is a bookmark that has suggested readings, bookmarks from a funeral home in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Oh, there's lots of stuff in here. And in your Bible, are there any notes scribbled in the margin? Or are there verses that you or someone else maybe underlined or highlighted or circled? If you look at those, can you figure out what might have prompted that? Now, I know that some people are intimidated by the Bible. I mean, first, it's a big book. There's a lot in there. And then, we may feel social pressure that we should be more familiar with it than we are. And some of the contents are hard to understand. Or they describe lifestyles that are so far removed from our modern experience. And some parts of the Bible defy our modern scientific sensibilities. Or we're offended by the glorification of violence by humans, and sometimes violence attributed to God. As we become better acquainted with the Bible, we discover or we remember that God's word to humankind is inspired by God's Spirit, but it was written down by men and women. So what? So, imperfect humans produced inspired but imperfect writings. Scripture is actually, absolutely spiritually inspired, mind you, but we have to pray that God grants us the gift of discernment to be able to read and understand God's will through words that may also be subject to inadvertent omissions. I can show you some. Or errors. Or contradictions. Yeah. Or misunderstandings. More than 3,000 years ago, there was a Hebrew song that I'm not going to sing for you now. It was a song whose lyrics described Holy Scripture as, well, we would say, like a flashlight to lead us through the dark unknown of our lives. Now, the song's melody was lost long ago. We have no idea what the song sounded like. But the lyrics we have because they're in the Bible's songbook. We call the Bible's songbook the book of what? Anybody know? Psalms, yeah. The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. That's the Bible's songbook. We have all the lyrics. We just don't have the music. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, which was printed in your bulletin today, that says, "Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path." Discover how God's word revealed in the Bible can be a lamp to guide you through life, helping you deal with setbacks, celebrating even those little victories, offering consolation in your disappointment and grief, giving encouragement when it's tough getting through the day. I mean, think about it. Generation upon generation made immeasurable sacrifice to deliver Holy Scripture to our day and age. Why? Because they discovered what you will discover too. That God's Spirit still speaks to your life through the pages of your Bible. Amen.